Good day to you, and hope you are enjoying this holiday season. This is Pat, and I'm reading the Clinton Journal for Friday, December the 19th. Our front page story. The city receives an update on the water project. Gordon Woods reporting. In Clinton, the city council received a report on the downtown water tower project during Tuesday's city council meeting. Engineering includes plans for improvements at the water treatment plant, the well houses in Kiwanis Park, replacements of a Quincy Street water main, replacement of the water tower on South Quincy Street, and demolition of the old tower. A plan to present to the IEPA, Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, began about a year ago. The intention is to fund the project from an IEPA State Revolving Fund loan, a low-interest loan program. The city in the past has used the program for sewer and water projects. There are several steps to proceed through the loan program, including the project plan and public environmental determination meeting. The next step on the agenda was a vote to proceed with an ordinance authorizing application to the loan program. A 30-day public comment period would follow passage of the ordinance. The process is expected to take several months. Design specifications for the project are nearing completion and will be submitted to loan program officials and to the IEPA to obtain a construction permit. Once everything is on file and permits granted for the projects, they will go out for bids. Improvements at the water treatment plant, the well field, and the new water tower will be parts of a single project. Once that work is completed, the Quincy Street water main will follow as the second project. The bid cost will make up the amount of the low-interest loan. The city would not be fully committed to the loan until the bids for the project return and loan payments papers are filed with the program. In other business, Commissioner John Wise said installation of the West Side Water Tower was scheduled. There's only one company in the area that even does it, Wise said. They're going to do it as soon as they can because with the cold weather, there's always a risk. Wise also said the heating system in the city maintenance shed had to be replaced on an emergency basis. They came in on a Sunday, and the furnace was completely out, Wise said. So, in the past couple of days, they had Tom's Heating come in, and I think it's probably done. It was supposed to be done yesterday or today. NRC renews the operating licenses for Clinton and Dresden nuclear plants. Warrenville, Illinois. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NRC, has approved a 20-year initial license renewal for Constellation's Clinton Clean Energy Center, Clinton Power Station, and a 20-year subsequent license renewal for its Dresden Clean Energy Center, following a rigorous review of maintenance activities, plant equipment, and safety systems at the two Illinois facilities. The approval allows Clinton to operate through 2047 and the Dresden reactors to operate through 2049 and 2051. Constellation is investing more than $370 million to relicense the plants, installing state-of-the-art upgrades to increase efficiency and ensure safety and reliability. In the past 10 years, we've invested over $3 billion in our high-performing Illinois nuclear facilities to power the state's economy with clean, reliable energy, said Brian Hansen, Constellation Executive Vice President and Chief Generation Officer. These license extensions will allow Clinton and Dresden to stay online for another two decades, preserving more than 2,200 family-sustaining jobs and $8.1 billion in federal, state, and local tax dollars. Today's announcement is a win for workers, Communities and Illinois Clean Energy Future, said Sean McGarvey, president of North America's Building Trades Union, NAPTU. By renewing the operation licenses for Clinton and Dresden Clean Energy Centers, Constellations is ensuring decades of good union jobs while delivering reliable, carbon-free power. Our highly skilled members are proud to operate and maintain these plants safely and safely every day. NAPTU, the IBEW, and other affiliates value this long-term commitment, which demonstrates the success of labor and industry working together effectively to deliver the energy solutions our nation needs. At Clinton, two new auxiliary transformers and two advanced equipment chillers are delivering higher system reliability, while upgrades to the plant's condensate polisher system offer greater protection from component degradation. At Dresden, operators are now using next-generation feed water level control technology to enhance reactor safety, while a new main power transformer purchased for the plant will deliver state-of-the-art electrical system monitoring and control. With these and other upgrades in place, Clinton and Dresden continue to operate at higher levels of safety, reliability, and efficiency than the day they came online. We are looking forward to many more years of collaboration with Clinton Clean Energy Center, said Clinton Mayor Helen McAlessie. We are so proud to have Constellation in our community and look forward to decades of impactful support for volunteer events and nonprofit work to benefit the region. While these license renewals give Constellation the regulatory approval needed to operate Clinton and Dresden for another two decades, annual operation is contingent on each plant's financial viability. At Clinton, the facility's carbon-free energy is secure as a result of the 20-year agreement with Meta, announced in August. The deal supports the continued operation, expansion, and relicensing of the 1,121-megawatt Clinton facility following the expiration of the state's zero-emission credit program in May of 2027. Constellation operates 26 nuclear reactors in six states and is the largest operator of nuclear reactors in the U.S. And now, from the op-ed page, the On Point column by Richard Koritz, Lasting Gifts and Heirlooms. It's Christmas time, and the thought of gifts came to my mind thought process. While this article isn't necessarily about Christmas gifts, it is clearly about giving. I've mentioned in this column that the baby crib and high chair that my brother and I used as infants has been used by our children and their children over the years. I recently mentioned that both are currently in use by our 21-month-old granddaughter when she spends the night at our house. This week, I witnessed that same little 21-month-old granddaughter get another refurbished gift. You're probably thinking I am either too nostalgic or simply cheap. Both characterizations are probably correct. 20-some years ago, I was at Danny Bundy's home in Lane. On his porch, he had three handcrafted wooden kitchen appliances. The appliances reflected a home in the late 1800s, early 1900s. There was a coal stove, a sink with a hand pump, and a pantry cabinet. All three were hand-built to scale, child size, and simply quality, constructed with love. I commented to Danny that this was an awesome kitchen set for a child. Danny said he had seen the set and had obtained the plans. He then built the set for his grandchildren. Danny said his grandkids loved to come over and cook him lunch on the place set with miniature pans and play food to serve him and his wife Connie. I remember it being a warm summer day when I was at Danny's house, telling him how impressed I was with his efforts for his grandkids. Danny then observed that our youngest daughter, Mercy, was a toddler at the time, and she would really enjoy a set like the one on the porch. I don't remember the specifics of how we got the stove, but by Christmas we had the set stored in our machine shed. What I do remember is that it snowed that Christmas, and the house was 150 feet up the hill from the shed. I like to kill myself getting that set from the shed to the house without waking up the kids. Ivy and I got the job done. One little girl was overjoyed with her Christmas gift. She used it for several years, and as she got older, the set went into storage. Fast forward to last week when Grandma tells her son to go down into the basement and bring the three-piece set upstairs for Ellie to use. We didn't make it into a Christmas gift as such, but it was certainly for Ellie's use. Ellie may be 21 months old, but she knew instantly that the set was for her. She opened all the drawers and moved the child-sized pans around. She knew the gift was hers, and she was one happy little girl, which always makes Grandma and Grandpa happy, too. The key to this gift is that Danny Bundy built a quality set of child-sized appliances that will last for years and generations. The joy in a little girl's face is beyond invaluable. That joy will play out again and again as she uses the play set. The gift will last for years and become an heirloom. I doubt if I am around when that set gets passed down from the current generation of grandkids, but Danny built a gift that may well keep many generations in the future enjoying their childhood. Perhaps you have a family heirloom that has passed through the generations that prompts fond memories of the past this Christmas season. Perhaps you will be making some. Whatever it is, enjoy your Christmas time. Numerous churches in town are having Christmas Eve services. That service reminds each of us that the greatest gift ever given to mankind was the Christ child in Bethlehem. Have a Merry Christmas. Richard Koritz is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. And this column, Dear Clinton, by Joe Mellon. My second Christmas in Clinton. Merry Christmas, Clinton. It's nice to have this be my second subject as your columnist. Memories of past Christmases and my personal thoughts on the holidays are what's in store, so brace yourself. LOL. If my memories and thoughts trigger a response from you, I hope you share it with me. Let's start things off with a couple of my favorite Christmas stories. We moved to Christine Drive in Decatur halfway through my kindergarten year, and my sister Diane was in the first grade, so it was already Christmas season. My grandpa drove over from Champaign on Christmas Eve, and we all had a nice dinner and opened a few gifts around the tree. Then Grandpa loaded my sister and me into his car, and we drove around the neighborhood after saying he had heard some noise on the rooftop. We went as far as Mound School to show him where we were going to school after the holiday break. When we drove back to the house, there were presents galore around the tree for Diane and me from Santa Claus. It was so fun to have Grandpa there to see our joy from getting all those gifts. Another favorite Christmas story was from the year before when we lived in Paris, Illinois. The big toy for boys that year in TV commercials was the 7 Guns in 1, Johnny 7, OMA. I asked my parents for one for Christmas, but they said I was too young for the toy. But they must have seen my facial expression whenever that commercial came on too many times, because I got that very toy for Christmas. My parents changed their minds, and I felt I could handle it. I remember cherishing that toy. I spent over half my time just looking for and picking up bullets and weapons that were fired, but it was so fun. It was also a big hit at school, show and tell time. Some of my favorite Christmas memories are from enjoying unexpected moments. Let's go the other way a bit. My least favorite Christmas gatherings are the one when everyone does what's expected. It seems like my favorite holiday and birthday memories with a significant other are always the first ones. In later years, when the novel became predictable, all joy and genuine excitement were lost. Has that been your experience? I was raised in a town and an era that valued and encouraged house-to-house caroling, daily parties, and exciting Christmas celebrations. Still true to form, the pleasure I get nowadays comes from those unexpected moments, like getting a call or a Christmas card from a long-lost friend or colleague. As part of my world domination utopian plan, all gifts should be given increasingly more sporadically and spontaneously, and less dreaded as an annual obligation. And less expensive choices are surprisingly often enjoyed much more than more costly gifts. And gifts should be of high value and easy to give, like a subscription to your local newspaper. But most of all, gifts should be given and received in a spirit of love and goodwill. What about you? Do you enjoy the predictability of a routine Christmas get-togethers, or do you prefer the unexpected like me? Do you like my idea of making gift-giving less tied to calendar dates and more tied to moments of serendipity? Again, I'd love to hear from you, and Merry Christmas, Clinton. Born in Springfield, Joe Mellon is a graduate of SDHS and Millikan University in Decatur. He worked as an industrial engineer and accountant at the Decatur Firestone plant until 1990, raised a family in Atlanta, Georgia, wrote and published a book, and is now glad to be back in central Illinois again. Mayton County Conservation Holiday Day Camp for Children, December the 22nd, Decatur. Let Rock Springs Nature Center staff keep the kids busy and entertained while you spend some time doing last-minute shopping, wrapping gifts, cooking, or simply taking some time for yourself. The Nature's Holiday Camp will take place on Monday, December the 22nd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. During this one-day camp, children will make a take-home craft and ornament, learn about what animals do in the winter, make s'mores, and spend time exploring outside. Snacks will be provided in the morning and afternoon, but please pack a sack lunch. The day camp is for children currently attending kindergarten through 8th grade. The cost is $40 per child, and online registration is required by noon, December the 18th, at maconccd.org. The DeWitt County Friendship Center hosted its holiday luncheon and Christmas bingo last week. The First National Bank, Constellation, Hospital and Health Services volunteers helped in the kitchen and served the meal. Shelby from the Villas in Lincoln took Santa photos and helped with bingo. Melissa Williams called the bingo game and donated gift cards for them for the festively dressed. Dallas and Angie Roberts were Santa and his elf. In the obituaries for today, we have Laverne Celeste Spainhour. That's S-P-A-I-N-H-O-U-R. Gilbert, Arizona. Laverne Celeste Spainhour, 85, passed away peacefully on December the 7th, 2025, in Gilbert, Arizona. The family extends their deepest gratitude to the Hospice of the Valley, Arizona, especially her dedicated nurse Tracy, for the compassionate care and kindness shown to Laverne in her final weeks. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital or Hospice of the Valley, Arizona. Laverne's life story of love, strength, humor, and family devotion will forever live on in many lives she touched. Family and friends are invited to a celebration of life on Saturday, January 24th, from noon to 3 p.m. at Snappers in Clinton. And we have the obituary for Sandra Lee Archie. That's A-R-C-H-E-Y, Rochester, Illinois. Sandra Lee Archie, 82, of Rochester, Illinois, formerly of Clinton, passed away on Friday evening, December the 12th, 2025, peacefully surrounded by her family at the Carriages of Rochester. A celebration of Sandy's life will be held at Clinton Country Club Saturday, December 20th, 2025, beginning at 10 a.m. with the service at 11. The family entrusted Calvert Funeral Home Clinton with arrangements. In place of flowers, the Archie family would be honored by donations made in Sandy's memory to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research or the Baby Fold in Normal, Illinois. Sandy's legacy of love, laughter, and creativity will live on in all those who were fortunate enough to know her. Online condolences may be made at www.calvertmemorial.com. And finally, Lauren W. Pete Cunningham of Clinton. Lauren Pete Cunningham of Clinton passed away at 3:51 p.m. on December the 14th at Carl Foundation in Urbana. Graveside services will be conducted at 2:45 on Friday, December 19th at Oak Park Cemetery in Clinton, with Adam Brucker officiating. Visitation will be from 1:30 to 2:30 on Friday at Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Pete retired from the Bridgestone Firestone Company in Decatur after 30 years of service. He enjoyed fishing, working on small motors, and gardening, and was a jack of all trades. Pete was a real people person who loved spending time with his family. Online condolences may be made at www.calvertmemorial.com. And from the History Almanac, in 1907, a coal mine explosion in Jacobs Creek, Pennsylvania, killed 239 workers. 1917, the first games of the new National Hockey League were played. Five teams made up the league. 1918, Robert Ripley began his Believe It or Not column in the New York Globe. In 1932, the British Broadcasting Corporation began transmitting overseas with its Empire service to Australia. In 1957, Meredith Willson's The Music Man opened at the Majestic Theater in New York City. It ran for 1,375 shows. 1957, air service between London and Moscow was inaugurated. 1959, Walter Williams died in Houston, Texas, at the age of 117. He was said to be the last surviving veteran of the U.S. Civil War. 1972, Apollo 17 splashed down in the Pacific, ending the Apollo program of manned lunar landings. 1984, Wayne Gretzky, age 23, of the Edmonton Oilers, became only the 18th player in the National Hockey League to score more than 1,000 points. 1984, Britain and China signed an accord returning Hong Kong to Chinese sovereignty on July 1st, 1997. 1985, ABC Sports announced that it was severing ties with Howard Cosell and released the mouth from all TV commitments. Cosell continued on ABC Radio for another 5 years. 1986, the Soviet Union announced it had freed dissident Andrei Sakharov from internal exile and pardoned his wife, Elena Bonner. 1986, Independent Counsel Lawrence Walsh was appointed to investigate the Iran-Contra issue. 1989, U.S. troops invaded Panama to overthrow the regime of General Noriega. 1998, U.S. President Bill Clinton was impeached on two charges of perjury and obstruction of justice by the U.S. House of Representatives. And now we have a treat to get into the Christmas season. We have letters to Santa from the Clinton Elementary School's second grade classes. This is from Mrs. Barnes' class. Dear Santa Claus, greeting to you and the reindeer. Thank you for the toys. I want a bike that has no handbrakes and a big box with a new TV. I love your reindeer. Love, Jesse F. Dear Santa, hi, how are you? And Mrs. Claus, thank you for my Barbie. This year I'm hoping to get an electric scooter, please. Love, Bella M. I thank you for my toy last year. I want a this year. I'm leaving you a plate of cookies and a cup of milk. I can't wait to see you soon. Dakota C. Dear Santa, hi to you and Mrs. Claus. I hope you're doing okay. Thank you for my gifts last year. May I have some resin animals? I will leave cookies, milk, and carrots. How are you doing? See you later. Your friend, LSB. Dear Santa, thank you for the presents last year. They were great. I have been doing my best to follow directions and be helpful. This year, I would like a Squishmallow GT Stuffy and games. Love, Zaire. Dear Santa, thank you so much for last year's presents. I love them. How do reindeer fly so fast? Do elves come back to you every day? I would like a remote, robot, Spider-Man Legos, and a 6-7 shirt. Sincerely, Bryson. Dear Santa, how are you? Thank you for my gifts last year. They were great. This year I want an armor tech sword and a control car. Sincerely, Luca. And this from Mrs. Hodel's class. Dear Santa, do you get hungry eating all those cookies? Why do you have so many elves? I have been nice this year. I would like a dirt bike and Fosca markers and a drawing tablet. Sincerely, Carson. Dear Santa, how are you? Are the elves super busy making toys? I've been doing my best. I would like a love for Christmas and Barbies. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Love, Addison. From Mrs. Hoyt's class. Dear Santa, Merry Christmas, Santa. Thank you for the stuff that you gave me last year. Am I on the nice list because I helped my mom do the crows? I'd like a headset and a robot. See you soon. Love, Noah. From Mrs. Mayer's class. Dear Santa, hello. Thank you very much for the gifts you gave me last year. How do you get all the gifts delivered in one night? How do the elves make all the toys? This year I would like fidgets and charms. Pushies would be great too. Stay warm. From Zena. Dear Santa, thank you very much for the gifts you gave me last year. What type of cookie is your favorite? How is Mrs. Claus? This year I would like a new notebook. Be safe, Santa. Do well this year. Love, your friend, Sophia. Dear Santa, thank you very much for the gift that you gave me last year. How are the elves? How many elves are there? This year I want a phone and Pokemon cards. Safe travels. Love, Henry. Some of these were a challenge to read. I am not up on all of the children's games, but I hope you enjoyed some of the letters, and maybe you have some little ones around your house that are also expressing their wishes to Santa and writing letters. So enjoy your day. This is Pat. I'll see you again next week.